The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Anna McCoy from Villarica, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 291 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. And on this, the third installment of our visit with Run Disney's training consultant, Jeff Galloway, we finish up with your questions. Maybe your question will be answered on this installment. Let's hope. So sit back and enjoy as we finish with Jeff Galloway.
The next question is from Robert Schultz, and he says, meeting Jeff at Tink this year was the highlight of my weekend. I had a good 10 minutes where there was no one else around. He's such a neat person, and I'm happy that I had the opportunity to meet him. Thanks to him, I believe I can attain my goals. Here's a question. How does Jeff prepare mentally for a race the day before and the day of the race? Does that change if the race is at night versus a morning race?
Oh, yes. And thanks so much for the kind words. I love the chance to interact with everyone. And it's just such a joy to make those connections. And at the Disney events, they just occur much more readily because of all the things they do to stage it. Now, for the question, the preparation, mental preparation, is best done if you have a cognitive strategy, because by having a cognitive strategy, you can move step by step and stay in the frontal lobe of your brain. That's the human brain, and the human brain overrides the emotional monkey brain. But most folks and most runners in their first 2 years tend to just default to the monkey brain, and we do that on most of our activities because it has all the behavior patterns embedded. The problem with that is that as we build up anticipated or real stress, the monkey brain will start secreting anxiety and negative attitude hormones. So you need to have a strategy, and that strategy is best done by practicing the day before your long runs. And get your journal out and just jot down the things that you do to keep your mind on track and to have fun and to eat and to drink. And by tabulating all of that and then setting up a strategy the day before your race, you will stay in your conscious brain and away from the monkey brain.
Monkey brain, I love it.
Monkey brain, monkey brain, monkey brain. That was great. That was great. Our friend Bernie Edwards has the next question. And Bernie says, Jeff always says that one should slow down 30 seconds per mile for every 5 degrees above 60. If someone is training for an 8 minute per mile pace for a fall race, is Jeff saying, for example, that it is okay to train at a slower pace when it is hot, and then you will automatically be faster in cooler weather? He says, I know Jeff already wants you to slow down for the long run, so I'm thinking of the shorter midweek runs.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and as all these questions tend to have, it has a number of elements to it. First of all, I haven't found any pace that is too slow for long runs, but the number one reason for injury tends to be running too fast, even a little bit too fast on long runs, so that you don't recover and you get tireder and tireder and then something breaks. So it's always better to err on the conservative side when you're doing the long runs, to slow down at least 2 minutes per mile slower than you are currently running in a marathon or 3 minutes per mile slower than you're currently running in a half marathon. That puts folks into a relatively very safe place where there are almost no injuries among people that slow down that much. With that slowdown, then goes the increased walking and less running. Now, to move on to the question about heat, it is important to slow down due to heat because heat's dangerous. And whether it's in a race or a long run, heat is the number one reason why there are serious medical complications in races and deaths. And I'm against death, and I want people to avoid it. And by slowing down and walking more, you're going to reduce the chance that you're going to have problems in long runs and races. And so the other area that I wanted to cover is he mentioned an 8-minute pace in his race. You can't really use what your goal time is. You really need to use reality-based assessment that is either a current pace in a marathon or half, or to use my Magic Mile. And there's a Magic Mile calculator at jeffgalloway.com that's free, and you can just go there and access it and find out what is a safe pace.
That's great. Okay, thank you. Our next question is a short one with two parts. It's from Liz Driscoll. She wants to know if you could give us one running tip. Oh, sorry, three questions. One running tip, one stretching tip, and one fueling tip. What would they be?
Okay, one running tip is to place those walk breaks right from the beginning. Even if it's a short run, you want to warm your legs up. And so for at least the first mile, it is very beneficial to put some walk breaks in. But on long runs, if you take those walk breaks from the very beginning, you can recover incredibly fast. It's just the stories are just amazing. The stretching tip, don't stretch. There, believe it or not, there's not a single study anywhere showing that stretching has any benefit for distance runners. But there are a lot of studies now showing that distance runners who stretch have more injuries. Injuries get worse. A lot of cases, the injuries don't heal. And a number of cases that I've encountered, permanent inability to run, career-ending stretching. So, you know, without any benefit, I'm going to absolve you of all guilt from not stretching. And what was the third question?
Fueling.
Fueling?
Fueling, yeah.
My rule of thumb is very simple. It is 2 to 4 ounces of water every 2 miles, and again every 2 miles, 30 to 40 calories of sugar. So practice that on long runs and adjust it to work for you, and then find the type of sugar that your brain can get its fuel and your stomach can take.
Not only are those great answers, but they're common sense. They make so much sense. All right, here we go, Jeff. We're going to start the next round with Celeste Baird. And Celeste has this question. She says, lately my back gets tight when walking and or running. I have to stop and stretch quite often. Why can this be happening? And is there a way to get rid of it completely? I haven't changed shoes or anything. Could it be I need to run more often? I run only on Saturdays. My fear is my back might get worse.
Well, running only once a week is a cause, because you're losing a number of adaptations, and the stress builds up during your run on that one run a week, and you don't have the adaptations in place. There are several other causes of back pain and back tightness. One of them is a forward lean. So you want to avoid a forward lean. That puts a whole lot of stress on the back. Second one is bouncing too much off the ground and having too long a stride. It torques out the back in that way. Another one is stress, too much stress in life and or on the run. Well, actually, if you're under the control of the subconscious brain, there's a condition called TMS, tension myositis syndrome, in which the subconscious brain, that monkey brain, wants to shut the stress off by stopping you so it can actually constrict blood flow to the back. So if you'll maintain a positive attitude and do the liberal walk breaks right from the beginning, and I would err on the very conservative side of that, and if you're not using 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15 right now, I would really start doing that right now. And then the other major thing is to have a positive mental attitude right from the beginning. There is an exercise that I have on YouTube that I would like for you to take a look at, and that is called arm running, and it will help to strengthen all the muscles up and down the back, plus the shoulders and the neck, and that should really allow you to be much better supported, and the back pain may go away.
All right. Our next question is from Laurie Weiner, and she says, I am wanting to run back-to-back marathons two consecutive weekends. The first one has no cutoff time limit. The second one has a seven-hour time limit. Would my long-run weekend stay the same time scheduling as running one marathon since they are back-to-back weekends? Also, I want to tell Jeff that he is a genius with his interval training. I used to walk most of my half marathons with very little running. Finally, I felt comfortable with interval training at 30-second run, 60-second walk every other mile, and 15-second run, 60-second walk every other mile. I finally PR'd 2 out of 3 weeks this month. My old PR lasted 2 years. I've taken 8 minutes off my old PR by slowly working in intervals where I used to strictly walk. Thanks for any advice you can give me. So, Jeff, you're a genius. But let me get back to those questions. She says, would my long run weekend stay the same schedule as running one marathon since they're back-to-back weekends?
Well, there are a lot of issues, and I congratulate you on what such a wonderful improvement. But this is just the beginning. If you'll keep fine-tuning this, you're going to find ratios on given days that are just going to work for you. Now, it is best to do some form of build-up if you're going to do back-to-back, but I do not recommend running 2 days in a row, long runs both days. I recommend walking the first day, and that's what I'm going to recommend that you do when you do those back-to-backs. The first one that doesn't have a time limit, walk the whole darn thing. And then it's still going to be good to be very conservative during the first half of that second marathon, but you know what works for you now, and once you get to that second half, do what works.
So if she's running them with a week in between, Jeff, should she shouldn't be running two long runs, two weekends in a row?
No, but I do recommend walking have two in tandem and walk the first weekend. Just walk along, walk the first weekend, and then you could do the run, walk, run on the second weekend. So sort of like the dopey training, only you're doing it 1 week apart.
Great.
Good advice. Arnett, well, it's not a question, but it's a message from Kimberly Torres-Markey, who we all know. And Kimberly says she would like to wish Jeff a happy 70th birthday as he celebrates with running his 200th full marathon at the Missoula Marathon. And I'm guessing, Jeff, that's on July 12th.
It is, and you know that very well.
Yes.
That's definitely a big day for you, too.
Yes, it's a big day for
birthday
both of us.
Buddies.
Yeah, birthday buddies. And she's saying to Michelle that maybe Mike Scopa would like to join Jeff for that marathon. Well, it's kind of late to schedule that, but we want to thank Kimberly for those very kind thoughts. And Jeff, let me be the first to say, happy birthday buddy.
You're the second.
Thank you,
the
birthday
second.
Buddy. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to being in Missoula and celebrating that. It's going to be a big day.
And you know what's the best thing about that, Jeff? You're in a different age class now, so you get a chance to finish high.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's not a problem anyway.
I'm going to be in a new age class, too.
There are many people who would like Mike to run a marathon. He hasn't tackled that one yet, so we're still working on him, Jeff. We'll see.
One of these days. You're still young, Mike.
I know, still young. You're only as young. It's only a number. Your age is only a number.
All right. The next one's from Dave Lawrence, and he says he's using your Lolo half marathon app. Is that how you say Lolo?
That's it. Lolo okay. Fit. Okay. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there are any plans to update with shorter intervals that you have been promoting. He says he would prefer 60-30 or 90-30 rather than 2-1 or 3-1 options.
We don't have that set during the next 6 months, but it is on their chart to do. So we're working on it.
Great. Okay.
Next question, Jeff, comes from Suzanne Ward-Douche. And Suzanne says, I'd love to hear Jeff's advice for dealing with Morton's neuroma. She says, I've been able to run 5 half marathons, but the pain by mile 10 is terrible. I've signed up for a marathon, and the neuroma is just about the only thing I'm truly afraid of.
Understand that. The one thing I found that works is to use some felt donuts in which you cut out a hole in where the neuroma is and build up the material around the circle outside on all sides of where the neuroma is. And by having different layers of felt, sometimes you can take the pressure off of that neuroma. Otherwise, you really just have to find a really good podiatrist who might be able to find an orthotic. But it's very individual, and there just aren't a lot of common things.
I would actually just add on to that. I have Morton's neuroma, and going to a good podiatrist is, I think, essential because I wasn't able to figure out where to put the felts, and he was able to help me. So also cortisone shots there have helped too. Okay, the next one is from Kim Sheroff, and she wants to know, what strategies or advice do you have for someone working to try to get faster?
There are 3 ways that people improve most. One is lengthening the length of the long run, going beyond the distance of a race. The second is to do some targeted speed work, and that would be, for example, the half marathon on non-long run weekends, building up to 14 times 800 meter, and for the marathon, building up to 14 times 1 mile over a season. Takes about 4 to 6 months to build that up, but it really does work. And third, if you look on my website, you'll see a number of drills, the acceleration, glider, and cadence drill, and there are some YouTube videos on that those drills. But do those, you'll get smoother, and you'll really find that running is not as hard. And I did forget one thing. Make sure that you're using the right run, walk, run, because the strategy makes a big difference. The shorter intervals have actually improved time over the longer intervals.
Sandy Began has an interesting question. She says, is there a point or age at which you need to realize you aren't going to get any faster?
Oh, yes, there really is.
We're still waiting.
Not going to win the time thing as the years go by, but you can enjoy the races just as much. You just have to avoid getting injured. And so doing the run, walk, run and looking at all the pacing guidelines is really – those two things will – keep you in the game, but at some point you have to let that ego go.
All right. Not everybody is going to go to the Olympics either, right?
That's right.
1 out of 3 of us did. Laura Gorwood Bailey wants to know, do you have an opinion about fasted running? Running while fasting?
Yes, don't do it. It's just not a good thing, and there are a lot of potential problems when people do that, especially long runs or a really good, consistent long run training program, people run out of gas. And so I would recommend if you want to fast separately, but you need to be well fueled when you're doing these long runs.
That's very good advice. This is like the lightning round. I love it. Robin Benton has a really quick question, Jeff. She wants to know if you have any tips on blister prevention, and especially in the toe box area.
Yes. Use foot powder, or there's a good product put out by Two Toms, believe it or not, Two Toms, company that is a Teflon-based blister powder, and that has reduced friction there. Otherwise, fiddle with the sock and look at the insole, make sure it's not too worn.
All right. We have two more. Justin Eckstein says, can you tell us about your single worst race and what you learned from it?
Oh, I've had a number of worst races, and I really have tried to block them out of my memory bank, and I've done a pretty darn good job, but I've had only a very few races that I have had to drop out of, and the one that comes to mind is one that was on a very sandy race course, and I had not trained in sand, and I was young, and I got into a lead position as I entered the sand area and thought that I would try to leave the others behind. That didn't work. I used up my resources in the sand, and just runner after runner passed me.
Wow. Yikes.
We have our final question, Jeff, and it's a really good one. It's from Kay. And she says, I am signed up for the Infinity Gauntlet Challenge at Disneyland in November. This will be my second Run Disney Challenge race. I'm considering signing up for the Disney World Marathon in January. It would be my first full marathon, and I'm a bit nervous about the training process. I'm a regular follower of the Galloway run walk run method, although I'm slow, and I found the run walk training plans to be instrumental in increasing my mileage. On the Galloway Run Disney training plan, the 20-mile run for a full marathon training is scheduled for the weekend before the Avengers races. Since I'll be running a 10K and half marathon on Avengers weekend, I doubt a 20-mile training run walk session will fit into my training plan. What is the best way to make up for this missed long run and stay on track as a new marathoner? Also, is it crucial to get in a full 26-mile training run walk run prior to the full? I've seen some runners comment that their last long run before a marathon is 22 to 24 miles. All yours, Jeff.
Well, the second question I'll answer quickly right now. It the length of the last long run will determine where you're going to tend to hit the wall in the marathon. That wall is that exhaustion point where life becomes very, very miserable towards the end. So it's just your choice. Do you want to hit that miserable wall, or do you want to prepare yourself the very best way? The best way I've found to avoid that wall is to go all the way up to at least 26. The other aspect of the question dealing with the challenge on Avengers weekend is that with the walking that I'm sure you're going to do in the park, and the 19-plus miles that you'll gain in races, you can count all of that towards your distance, your long run for that weekend. So I wouldn't really worry about that weekend. But you really should do all the other long run weekends to prepare for the big day in January.
Terrific. All right.
I think we did it.
I think we can let Mr. Galloway go eat his dinner now.
And Jeff, I enjoyed this very much, and I will enjoy what is a belated Father's Day dinner with my family.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. And, you know, you're always 100% enthusiastic when we ask you to come on, and you insist on answering every question. So and you don't have to do that. So we really do appreciate it, and our listeners do, too. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thanks,
well,
Jeff.
Thank you, Michelle and Mike. And Mike, happy birthday in advance.
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to say happy birthday. Many returns of the day.
July 12th, guys. All right. Thanks a lot.
So for Jeff Galloway, birthday boy, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI.com. mickey-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.